Exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it is Inspirational Truth Time once again, and I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want you to know, friend, if He isn't your Savior, He came to be, He wants to be. Remember what Luke 19 and 10 says? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, that which is lost. Oh, friend, if that identifies you, look, don't wait till I get done preaching. Don't wait till somebody comes by. Why don't you just simply get down on your knees right now and say, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm telling you, if you've got any, listen, if you've got any inkling or an idea at all that you're going to get saved, you need to be getting saved. We're running out of time. You're running out of opportunity. You're running out of days, friend. You're running out of days. Well, we're excited about the program, and we generally are that, are we not? I tell you that, I think, every week. And, well, it's the truth, friend. It is the truth. We're excited about the Word of God. And if only I could set this message forth before you in the way that I'd like to, then we could all just simply say glory, hallelujah. But all the glory goes to God. All the glory goes to God. I'll tell you what, friend, I'm not as able as I'd like to be, but I'm working on it. I'm going to be looking in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great resurrection chapter. And if you'd like to be turning there and meeting me after Debbie sings the song she's going to do, friend, then we'll begin to look at some scripture. My, what a great chapter. We're indebted, are we not? We're indebted to the people of Corinth who had questions about and problems with the resurrection. And oh, I'll tell you, in light of what Paul wrote, it's magnificent, friend. It's absolutely awesome what Paul wrote about the resurrection. And we ought not be having many troubles with it. Well, we're going to look at it in some degree. I'll not be able to touch it, but I hope that I through the Holy Spirit, will be used in such a way that you'd be edified and God be glorified. Well, Deb's going to do a song right now. One of the earliest that she wrote, it's titled, He Got Up, and I'm glad He did. Remember what He said in the book of John 14:19, talking about Jesus, because I live, ye shall live also. Look, friend, look, you got to be ready to get up, but you got to get ready to get up, you got to go down right. Well, here's Debbie with He Got Up.
Couldn't keep Him in the grave. Satan thought he had defeated, but that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came and He got up. The crowd had gathered round Him to watch Him bleed and die. Some could not understand why Jesus was crucified. So what they had forgotten, this was God's own Son. Death could not hold Him down, victory had been won. He got up on the third day, when the stone was rolled away. Death could not keep Him down, He couldn't keep Him in the grave. He got up. He got up. couldn't keep him in the grave. Satan thought he had defeated, but that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came and he got up. He has risen, he has risen. Death could not hold him down. He got up with resurrection power. He got up, he got up.
Well, hallelujah. I'm glad that he did, friend. I'm glad that he did. And you too are going to rise sometime. You too, if you die, friend, if you die and go to the grave one of these days, there'll be a resurrection day for you. It'll be either to the just or the unjust, and my, that decision is up to you. I've turned my Bibles, I told you, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 34, and I'll skip some verses as I make my way down through verse 53 or 54, somewhere along through there, but I want you to know if you'd like to contact us, our son will be back at the end of the program to give you our snail mail and email address, and we'd love to hear from some of you. By the way, at the making of this tape, and I know that through this program, this will date this, and maybe you'll hear it again sometime in the future, but if you'd like to go to our blog spot and read about our latest travel to Israel, we'd be more than glad to share with you the blog spot. It's inspirationaltruths.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to get that, just email us and we'll email you back the link. And look, friend, I'm going to be talking about the resurrection. That's not my text. Let me go ahead and give you my text before I even read the scriptures. I'm excited about it. It's three words. And I'll not get it preached. I want you to know I'll not get it preached. I mean to tell you, in reality, all three of these words that I'm going to use as a part of my message are messages in their own self. And yet, friend, yet I'm going to try to kind of scrunch them all together into this message. I know I won't do as well as I'd like, maybe as well as you'd like for me to do, but I'll tell you, I hope God uses me and the thoughts that I have on my heart and on my mind to be a blessing to you. I'm going to talk about impressive, impossible, and imperative, and they all relate, all three of these words relate to the resurrection. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but I am going to say this. His resurrection is the foundation of our resurrection. Paul began to write to the believers at Corinth, a very carnal bunch. Was it not a very corrupt bunch in a lot of ways? I mean, they had to deal with pagan philosophy, Greek philosophy, as a matter of fact, that thought that the body was just a prison. The body was just something that held really the real man back. And it was of no use and of no benefit. My, there were ideas about what happened when people die. And actually, they thought it was a release from imprisonment. And they didn't understand the truth about resurrection. A lot of people don't even today. A lot of people don't know that the resurrection, the word resurrection itself, means a standing up of the body. And we're not talking about a spiritual resurrection. When we're talking about the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, we'll have a new body, praise the Lord, we'll have a new life. He's talking about a literal, physical, bodily resurrection. And boy, he begins in this verse 34 to kind of, it's a really harsh verse. This is what it said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Well, I'll tell you, Paul was really laying it down to them. He said, look, you ought to know better. You that profess to be wise, he said, look, I shame you. But let's go on. He said, some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool. Well, I'll tell you, Paul was really putting the rubber to the road, is he not? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now what he's going to do, he's going to take some very natural illustrations, some very obvious and well-known illustrations of the world around people that were living in it, and express the truth of the resurrection of men and women who know Christ as their Savior, and even men and women who later know not Christ as their Savior. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. This deals with the resurrection of the believer. I know that the unbeliever is going to rise. I know that they're going to stand before God in judgment. I know they're going to bow their knee, and with their lips they're going to profess that Jesus is Christ to the glory of God the Father. But I want you to know this passage that we're dealing with deals with the resurrection of the believer's body. Listen to what he goes on to say. I know it can be applied to the unbeliever, but I'll tell you it's not good. It's not good at all. But listen to what he said. He said, thou fool, and we'll say it again, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That which thou sowest not the body. That body that shall be, that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. And every seed his own body. Now, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another of the glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Listen, it is sown in incorruption, it is raised in it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is, Paul said, a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Now look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And you know what I want to say long about now? Glory, hallelujah. Now remember, I'm talking about impressive, impossible, and imperative. And you say, what's impressive? Well, the things that I read beginning at verse 35, which would go down through and even include verse 49, although I hadn't read of those, when Paul begins to talk about the body, that resurrection body, in relationship and in comparison to that body that was put in the ground. And then he gives us an impossibility in verse 50. And you say, what is that? Well, it's the fact that flesh and blood cannot inherit, the Bible says, the kingdom of God. And then he gives us an imperative. Oh, look, you'll see that in verses 51 through 52. And you say, what is it, preacher? Well, it's the fact that there's going to be a change that comes. Actually, it's verses 51 through 53. So let's hurry and do this if we can. My, look, this passage contains some of the most awesome and interesting revelations in the Word of God. You say, how do you get that, preacher? Well, listen to what he said. Look now in verses 36 through 42. He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, he said, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star different from another in glory. So also, listen, is the resurrection of the dead. Oh, I like that, don't you? And you say, what's he talking about there, preacher? Well, I believe he's talking about a change, friend. A change of dimension. I like that, don't you? I like that. I absolutely like that. A change of dimension, friend. Look, Paul began to take some very good illustrations from the natural world and provide them as evidences of what God's going to do in the spiritual world. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know what he says? There are bodies that are terrestrial or heavenly, and then there are bodies that are earthly, and then there are bodies that are celestial, mean bound for heaven. Boy, Paul, I'll tell you, take some illustrations from both worlds. Do you know what we are right now? We're earthbound. We're terrestrial beings. But oh, thank God. Thank God, I'll tell you, we're destined for the celestial. Do you know that? Didn't John see a city coming down from God out of heaven? Right now, look, we walk for God. We look to God. We wait for His Son. But I'll tell you, one of these days, we'll walk where He walks. We'll look upon Him. And look, we'll praise His Son. My. Paul begins to say, listen, you just need to think a little bit. He said, that body that is sown, that body is sown. Now look, it may not come back as far as the same body, and it won't. It's going to be a changed body. Look, there may not be the same identity, but there is going to be the same continuity. Paul said, listen, you buy some wheat, and you put that seed in the ground, and you know what it does? Well, you let the sun and the rain and the soil begin to take over. You know what happens? That husk begins to decay and that seed begins to die. And all of a sudden, there's something that begins to extend downward and then something that begins to plummet upward. Well, I'll tell you, when that seed has died and it begins to bring forth, you know what it does? It brings forth something of its like kind. It's the same identity. Why, if it's wheat, it's wheat that it'll be producing. If it's barley that it'll be producing. It may not be the same thing, and it isn't. It's died. It's dissolved and it's changed. But I'll tell you, it's changed in a more glorious way. Oh, look, friend, look, there is a change in destiny. We're bound now. Listen to this. I like this. We're bound now for the grave, but one day glory. Hallelujah. We're bound for glory. Amen. Amen. We're not only changed in our destiny, but we're changed. We'll be changed in our disposition. I know I'm not spending much time on these. I don't have a lot of time to do, but listen to what he said in verse 42. Listen now. It is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what? Well, that'd make a Baptist shout. Amen, friend. He said it's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. I know too much about corruption, don't you? I'll tell you, friend, one of these days, this old outward body's going to perish. Listen, that life germ that's on the inside of it, just like that which is inside of a grain. Oh, I'll tell you, it's going to come up in a different way. Oh, listen, there are times that I feel like I can't even wait. How about you? Till that happens. My, there's going to be a change in destiny, and there's going to be a change in dimension too. Do you know that? My, listen, that's what he was saying about bodies terrestrial and bodies celestial. My, we'll be there. We're not going to be here, but we're going to be there, friend. And what a day that will be. We're going to be living in a different dimension of time and space. Oh, look, friend, we're going to be living on a higher plane, on a higher level. And what a grand and glorious day that will be. Not only will there be a change in destiny and dimension, there's going to be a change in disposition. Listen to what he said in verse 43. He said, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. He said, it's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm aware of my weaknesses, aren't you? Oh, this old body of dust, this old body of clay, this old body of dirt, that's all that it is. My, we're the same elements that ground out there that I'm looking at is not worth much in itself, but there's something within us that God placed within us. He felt so valuable, found so valuable, that He shed His own blood to redeem us. Oh, look, friend, I'll tell you, this is impressive to me. Not only is there a change of destiny, not only is there a change of dimension, not only is there a change of disposition, but there's a change of dynamics. Look at verse 44. Why, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. And he said, there is a natural and there is a spiritual. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that spiritual body, aren't you? That one in which I'll live forever. That one in which I'll get it right then. That one which I'll be able to praise God from and live for God like my heart wants me to even now. But I'll tell you, friend, that's all impressive. But let's move quickly because I've got to the impossible. He said in verse 50, listen. He said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You know what Paul was saying? It's impossible to get there like we are. We've borne the image of the earthy, he said in verses above that. So must we bear the image of the heavenly. You see, that first birth that we had, friend, has resulted in corruption and in decay. It's a life of mortality. It's coming to an end. It's been negatively affected by sin. But oh, thank God for the redemption that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, provided. Friend, listen, we've got a new life. We will have a new body. He said it's impossible for flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of God. Even Jesus, after He came back out from among the dead, came with a body. Listen now, that looked like Himself, but oh, it was different. It was not limited by time and space. He could travel at the speed of thought. He could enter in behind locked doors and stone walls. Oh, look, He said, touch and feel that it is I, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone. Oh, look, friend, there is wonderful, impressive things here. There is an impossible thing, and let me end quickly with an imperative thing. He said, behold, He said, I show you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all, here it is, be changed. Paul is saying what he did in First Thessalonians chapter 4. He's talking about the rapture, and he's talking about what will happen at the rapture. Do you know, friend, there's coming a time that's soon to come. It's just right around the corner. It's even at the door when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven and with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. He'll cry for us. John said a door will open and we'll go up immediately. But I'll tell you, to go up, there's got to be a change that happens. It'll change. There'll be a change that'll take place. And this old body that was made out or from the dust of the ground. Boy, I'll tell you what, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. And we shall all be changed. What's that mean, preacher? Well, there are some people that believe in Christ Jesus that's already died. They've outstripped us and gone. They've been buried and planted in the ground as if seed were planted in a ground. And did you notice in verses 42, 43, And 44, Paul said, it is sown. It is sown. It is sown. I don't know much about farming, but I know if you sow something, thank God it'll come up. And one day, hallelujah, Paul said, we'll be changed. Look, friend, this stuff is impressive. There's something that's impossible, but I'll tell you, there's something imperative that's got to happen before we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's got to be a change that'll come. There's going to be a change, friend, in the body. There's going to be a change in its structure. You say, preacher, what about those folks that have had their bodies disposed of in unique ways? Look, I don't know what your ideas are, but the same God that created this body can bring it back together again in a fashion and a form that He wants it to. Look, friend, He'll take care of the details. All I need to do is declare that there's going to be a resurrection day. There's going to be a change, but before that change, there's got to be a change here. There's got to be a change from darkness into light. There's got to be a change from a sinner to a saint. There's got to be a change from walking in disbelief and away from God to faith and walking with God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I implore you right now. I implore you to repent of your sins. Look for Him. Death isn't an option. Resurrection is not an option. And you can get upright if you go down right. The Bible tells us long ago, wise men speaking, if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place that the tree falls, so shall it lie. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, humble your heart right now. Bow your head and say, God, I want to know that change of corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortality. And God, I want You to save me right now. It's imperative that I ask Christ to save me. And it's imperative that He does the work on me now so He can do a work on me then. God, save me. Oh, look, friend, if you prayed some prayer like that, write and let us know. Would you do that? We'd certainly like to contact you and be in communication with you. Well, thanks for tuning in today. I trust that something has been said to bring glory and honor to God and be edifying to you. You pray for me. Look forward to seeing you the next time. Until then, God
you
bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.